Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell Siri to dial the fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Never trust a big butt, a smile, that girl is poison.
You young boys don't know that one, man. You young boys... Young boys wasn't in the club. I wasn't either. But you young boys wasn't even close to the club. Inside the 1 a.m. hour on The Fan in New York, we're talking sports. I'm not going to get too much into the Knicks. Shout out to Deuce McBride coming back. Obviously, they don't have OG. Obviously, they don't have big body Brunson. McBride went off tonight. I had a parlay, and my stupid ass, I put parlays together, and I had him for three threes and 15 points. He cleared that. But you know what busted my parlay? Thinking Landry Shamet was going to go off again against the same team, but a little different circumstances. Only negative thing right now with the Knicks, man, that road record on top of the injuries and the defense, but they haven't won a game on the road yet. So anyway, just not too much for that. It's still early in the season. I don't care about the NBA Cup. I really don't. I think it's janky as hell. I think this is like the NBA showing the world. Like, we're trying. It's like you have star players. You're a global game. Like, some of the biggest stars in your game are from all over the world. You don't need that janky stuff. But honestly, it came from like FIBA and looking at other, whatever, looking at soccer and I don't know. Let's stick to the football. 888-808-1019. We got plenty of calls. Bruce is in Flushing with us on The Fan. Go for it, Bruce.
Three varying points. Number one, I would not start Jackson this week. The kid had a concussion. Detroit is going to be kicked off. After last week, they're playing in Detroit. I would hold him out next week. That's what I would do.
Yeah, and like I'll double down on that. I understand them potentially doing that because like Aiden Hutchinson is over there. Right. Brian Branch is always headhunting. Like there's some dogs over there. Like you put Jackson Dart in harm's way in Detroit. Like they got some guys over there. Anzalone, like they could light you up. And also, I think people are leaving out of the conversation with Dart. Like I said before, it's not just the concussions. He had other injuries he was playing through. I believe an ankle, something else, and we know he lost a tooth. So, like, they're trying to give him some time. I would not be against them saying, hey, maybe you come back for the Commanders at home.
Yeah. Second point. Mike McCarthy, I'm not crazy about. The guy who I... There were two guys who interest me, Bags and the coach from Cincinnati, because you put those guys with the players in this defense. First of all, you see from this week, there was a lack of discipline on this team. These guys will put discipline on this team and will put the people in the right places and have an attacking defense, a blitzing defense, and that fits the talents of these guys.
Sure.
And you can always get some, you know, a bad combination, even though I'm not in love with Nagy, but Nagy as the offensive coordinator and Spags as the coach.
I know the Chiefs are 500 right now, and they're looking like they're going to miss the playoffs. If those guys are willing to come to East Rutherford and team up, that'd be a dream. That'd be the there's no need to talk to anybody else if you get that okay from them.
Right. And one last drawing point. Did you watch the game on TV this Sunday with Drew Brees?
Yes.
Drew Brees may have been a great quarterback. He's rotten analyst. I put on the game, and he tells me the strength of this team is a giant offensive line.
But like I was just saying, like they're not the best offensive line, but they're better than they've been. They have some weeks where they've graded out pretty well. But also that was Drew Brees is on assignment, I'm pretty sure, for Mark Sanchez.
And then there was one play.
he started doing this because Mark Sanchez is clearly out, and you know he didn't have too much runway. But go on.
But there was one play where most analysts knows the players on the offensive line. You could tell he had no clue who the players were. He said that right guard. He made a good block. Most analysts would tell you
they
the
should have a sheet right in front of them. With the names, and I mean, you're supposed to study and know who these guys are too. So yeah, it's not great.
Take care, Keith.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I went and looked up in my notes. Jackson Dart was also battling a hamstring and ankle injury on top of losing a tooth, on top of being concussed. So like maybe there is some thought to not playing him this week against Detroit. He's still in the concussion protocol. I believe he's going to clear the concussion protocol. But when you're having the conversation about him coming back, make sure you add hamstring, ankle, tooth. those are three things that are like, yo, this kid got his ass kicked. He got beat up pretty good. Maybe he needs a couple weeks. And, I don't know. With this head coaching search for the Giants, I just feel like they're going to screw it up. I feel like they've already given off this energy, this like elitist energy of like, okay, so like a couple things. Bill Belichick, and I wanted to speak on this. Bill Belichick came out, and I said Friday, I read his whole statement that Jordan Hudson wrote. Bill Belichick came out and basically said, I'm not interested in any NFL jobs. And people said, oh, that's him saying I'm not interested before they could say they're not interested in him. Then they proceed to lose to Wake Forest, and I think the final score was something like 22-12. Bill is having a rough go at it, and I believe I saw a stat, like not a stat, but like something flash where it's like he's got to beat Duke and NC State to be bowl eligible, and I don't think he's going to be able to pull that off. But there was this, and this is why I hate the internet. The video, the final score was 28-12. It should have been 22-12. There was a video of the head coach from Wake Forest who took his hat off and was going to greet Bill Belichick at midfield. And, of course, he's a coach, and I'm sure he knows he's the greatest coach or whatever. People say the greatest coach of all time. He took his hat off to shake his hand and greet the old man. Bill Belichick had his arms crossed, and I'm watching the video right now. Bill just kind of gives him the handshake and then doesn't even look him in the eye and goes past him. Now, a lot of people wrote that as he's being a sore loser. He's a word I can't say. But then I looked deeper into it, and I did not watch the game, but I went back and looked. Wake Forest scored a touchdown, which it's their prerogative. But Bill's old school. With 22 seconds left in the fourth quarter, no huddle, shotgun, a rush to the right for 2 yards, touchdown. Now, I don't know what the spread was, but to Bill, that might have been Bush League. You feel me? Like, he might have looked at that as like, yo, you were already beating us by 10. You could have taken a knee there to kill the 22 seconds. Instead, you scored?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So don't leave that out of the conversation. I think I heard BT and Sal talking about, oh, did you see Bill Belichick? And it's like, yeah, but there was more to the story. Bill Belichick's been doing this a long time. You think he doesn't know his position and who he is in the world and how other coaches and other players and people like look up to him and treat him? Of course he does. But I think he looked at that as disrespect. I would too. Like, you didn't have to score on us right there. You didn't have to punch it in right there with 22 seconds. You could have let that game finish 22-12. So I think that it was more Bill being like, you don't respect me because you disrespected my team. You rubbed it in. You scored a touchdown when everybody knows, like, you're supposed to, all right, just knee it out, run the clock out, whatever. That's your prerogative. But then don't expect to run over, you know, into the middle of the field and shake Bill Belichick's hand and take your hat off. I don't got the time for you. You're a nobody to me. Bye. 888-808-1019. If there's any Wake Forest or North Carolina fans in the audience. Who's going to coach these Giants? I don't know. I ran through the list of names, and I just think that it's such a huge decision because it's got to work with Jackson Dart. You're going to have a top pick. You already have so much talent, and these fans can't take it, man. These fans can't do another year of, like, tankathon.com, season's over by Halloween. We're bums. We're in the bottom of the league again. We're a laughingstock. We're the Jets. Rob is up in the BX on the Fan in New York. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me. What do you think about Kevin Stefanski and Jim Schwartz, or some combination of the two? And then also, do you have any ideas for a new GM if they fire Joe Shane?
Jim Schwartz, isn't he, where is he right now? He's the defensive coordinator with the Browns under Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, he's the coordinator with the Browns. I mean, honestly, I would think that whole coaching staff, I think they're just, you know, offensively, they're not doing well because of
the
quarterback.
Are the Browns going to fire him? I mean, I know they're not good.
I mean, I don't know. But if they don't fire him, the DC is available. I mean,
he is a good coach. He's regarded as a good coach across the league. He won Coach of the Year, I think, when they made the playoffs 2 years ago. If they let him go, that's definitely somebody that you interview.
What about GM candidates? Do you know any?
Might as well go get Louis Riddick if we're getting the you know, former Browns together. Go get Louis Riddick. Thomas Dimitrov. I always go back to the Jets and the 33rd team, and they interviewed so many GMs. I'm like, there's got to be somebody in there. But then again, this is where I come to the Giants. They view themselves, they're elitists. They view themselves like not like the Jets. And what I think what the Jay Glazer report was trying to send signals out to the world was, we're not going to interview that many guys. We don't need to have 15, 20 guys interviewed. We're going to narrow this down to a few candidates, and we're going to go from there. And I'm like, I think you need to cast as wide of a net as possible. And it should have started as soon as, you know, last Monday when you fire Brian Daboll. That's what Joe Shane should be working on while he's still employed.
Yeah, I think it needs to be some proven commodity. I don't want to.
And Rob, you know who they should really ask? Not you, not me. The coach that they hire. They should ask the coach that they hire. Who do you suggest we hire as GM? Who would you like to work with? Who would you like to go to ShopRite and pick the groceries for the dinners you're about to cook? Like, that's where they need to go and find the GM instead of Joe Shane, who hired Brian Daboll and saying, like, oh no, he's put together a good young nucleus of talent. Where? Deontay Banks? Jalen Hyatt? Cost you the game. Like, I don't know how this guy survives.
I would cut Jalen tomorrow.
Yeah, I would have cut him after the game. I would have cut him after the game. You gave up on the play. Why is there no urgency, bro? You don't ever get to rock this much. Why are you stopping on a play? Thanks for the call, Rob. I'll never get over that in football. Like, there are so many people. Look at Isaiah Hodgins. There are so many people that wish they could play football, wish they could be on the New York football Giants out on that field running with a chance to score the game-winning touchdown. Run the route hard. The ball's coming your way. Like, you could have been a hero. Just got to make a play. Make a play? You're like, play. Like, what are you doing? Oh, and as a former quarterback and wide receiver, that is egregious. And Jameis said, oh, yeah, you know, our timing needs to be a little better. No, Jameis, you read the defense. And obviously the safety's over the top, but the back of the end zone's right behind him. There's not a lot of room. You're throwing that ball in the end zone with seconds left, giving your receiver a shot. He's the fastest guy on the field. Run and go up for a jump ball and try and make the play, or at least be in position to play defense and knock it down. I think I saw Gunnar Olszewski do that. I saw him play defense on a play, not in this game, but maybe a game before. I'm like, that's a guy. As I talk about, there are guys that want to be in the league so bad. That's a guy that's a journeyman that has fought special teams, returning kicks, fighting for his opportunity. Why do you think Dable had him in there over Jalin Hyatt? Because he knows this guy's going to give his all. This guy's going to compete. This guy's not going to let us down. With the game on the line, you're relying on a receiver that you absolutely couldn't rely on for the last 2 years he's been here, 3 years that he's been here. 888-808-1019. It's despicable, Joe Shane. And this is a negative mark on you, current GM. Because you were pumped up to get this kid. How come, what is in his head? What is he thinking? How is he being coached up? How is he being prepared? I think, shout out to Authentic. And, you know, I've been doing my due diligence this year. I don't know everybody on Giants Twitter, but I have followed a bunch of the Giants Twitter film people. And Authentic put out a clip where Jalin Hyatt, Jalin Hyatt getting the blame for the Jameis Winston interception that basically ended the game. I'm not sure how this is being coached, but the Giants ran the exact same play earlier in the game. Hyatt ran the route different. Maybe there's an option install, maybe not. Jameis took the blame in the presser and alluded to timing being the main culprit and not getting reps to build chemistry with players. Looks like Hyatt may have been looking for a throw to the inside with the DB playing the corner. No. That's not the concept. It's like it's a smash route. The guy on the outside running that route is supposed to pull the corner down and whoever is inside with him, that's leaving you one-on-one with the safety. I'm watching the film again. I'm watching it right in front of me. You got to run that route hard. He ran it hard with more space. He ran the route hard when they were at the 28-yard line. He ran his route all the way when they were at the 28-yard line. He breaks and he gets to maybe 4 yards away from out of bounds. And then when they run it from the 15-yard line, and before I said you had maybe 20 yards of space, the end zone is 10. So you have 25 yards of space, but really not even because you're not going to the back of the end zone. Where he runs that route, he does not run full speed. But if he ran it like he ran it the last time, he would have been closer to where the ball was instead of looking like, oh, I'm not getting this play. I'm just going to turn my head around. There's no way this ball is coming to me. Why not? This is Jameis Winston. He's throwing in rhythm. He's throwing on time. And you know what he probably remembers? Okay, we just ran this play. And when we ran this play, I quickly got it out and threw it into the middle of the field. Okay, now there is more field, and Hodgins caught that one. Now there's more or less field to play with. I don't have that space. They jumped on it in the middle of the field. I'm going to take my shot one-on-one with Hyatt and the safety, and I can't do that game over because the safety's sitting on it, and I don't have the receiver in the picture to even go up and contest it, go up and knock it down. He quit on the route thinking he's not getting the ball. As fast as Jalin Hyatt is, I'm watching it over and over again. As fast as Jalin Hyatt is, his feet slow down. One, two. He goes in a little bit. And like the defender makes him go in a little bit. So maybe that slows his path down. But you're fast. Turn. Break. Unforgivable. Carlos is in Clifton, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Lowe's?
Hey, so I was just about to talk about the same thing. But before that, they need to change the water fountains at the Garden because the Rangers started 0-4 on the road, and now the Knicks are 0-4 on the road. So something's going on there.
Law of the Garden. Something is going on. Something in the water over there at MSG.
I was looking at the same thing. Like, even if Jameis, if underthrows that ball to the corner of the end zone, that's a touchdown if this guy's running full speed.
You didn't give him because a shot, was, man. It's right, like, it's so disappointing. The ball is there where, like, if you're running hard, you could at least tip it, like, knock it down, or try right. to go up and make a contested. Don't you want to be the hero? Don't you want to have your moment 13 wearing Odell's number? And don't you want to score a touchdown like Odell scored all those touchdowns back in the day?
Right.
Don't you want to get that, people that off was, your back?
Right, that was another one of my points. Why is he running that route? Isaiah Hodgins should have been running that route.
Yeah, but it's just so, like, and I just mean, was looking at the, like I said, go to Authentic on Twitter, and he spells Authentic, right. A-W-T-H-E-N-T-I-K. It's personnel. Uh-huh. Isaiah Hodgins just got here. And when they lined up on the left side of the field and whatever they call that formation, whatever they call that personnel, Hodgins is on the field. Uh-huh. But Hodgins is the outside receiver on the right side. So maybe, let me see, let me go back. He's on the ball. He's the X. Like, it just when they call those personnel and those packages, that's where he lines up in the huddle. There is no thought to switch it. And you know what? Okay. He's not thinking that this third-round pick right. that's a young, fast player on the team is someone that he can't rely on. But then, you know, they talked about chemistry and reps and whatever. I blame Joe Shane. That's the guy that you wanted, and that guy's been here for 3 years.
Now,
he's not ready for the moment.
Was that progressions or he was going there regardless? Because if you look at it, like I kept looking at it too, if he would have looked and looked back, Wandell was open in the middle because that his man went over to that corner. But I don't know, maybe that was just it. That was his first read and he had to go there. That was the play.
Yeah, I'm watching it again Wandell now.
Watch Wandell in the middle. His guy leaves over to the corner a little bit.
No,
he throws his hands
he went to the
huh?
right place. He went to the right place where he had to go with the ball. Maybe if he holds on to the ball a little bit because he had a little more time. But Jameis is not holding on to the ball. He's a pro QB. He knows to let it go, let it rip because these DBs sit on it. Hyatt's got to be in front of that ball. He's got to cross the safety space.
Right.
He's got to cross the safety space.
Yeah, so we figured Detroit on Sunday, five picks, right? It's either five picks or seven.
Well, they're banged up. If Terrion Arnold and DJ Reed come back, yeah. But it doesn't matter because
five picks or seven touchdowns. Which one?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's out there. If it's Rocky Sin who got called for that bogus pass interference. That's another thing about the NFL. Who tells you that the NFL is bogus? I'm getting tired of it. It's getting really crazy what we accept as fans. What they call on the field and don't reverse.
There was one third down play that was crucial for us on defense. That pass interference that wasn't really pass interference. We had stopped them.
It's phantom.
And they call
And you know what? There's repercussions for everybody. Coaches get fired. Players get sat down, benched. GMs get fired. These refs, there's no repercussions for them. They can just go out there and be fans. Thanks for the call, Carlos. They just go out there and watch the game as fans, and they think they saw that. That, like, bro, I'm watching it again, and I fell asleep. I tweeted out. I said, I fall asleep, and I miss NFL bogus. Like, the NFL is so bogus, and we just accept it. And then I attached the play from the morning. I heard Evan talking about this today. Like, the NFL starts and ends with a 9:30 game in Madrid where the ball is uncatchable. The ball is 10 feet in the air. An actual New York Giant couldn't have caught that ball. And they call pass interference there. It's not catchable, bro. And Mike McDaniel is freaking out. He's trying to keep his job. He's like, bro, they're hosing us. But that's what they do in the NFL. And we just accept it because we're like, oh, I need 20 more yards for my parlay. Oh, I need 5 more points for my fantasy team. Oh, well, if this team wins, No, call the game right. This is the highest level of football with the world watching. They're literally in Spain. And they call this nonsense, and they can't reverse it. As much as they're going to try and, like, ban the tush push and, you know, change other things about the game, right? They want to keep the game safer. You probably saw Brian Branch last night. It was so quick. I forget. I think it was Jahan Dotson that he had the helmet-to-helmet on. And this is what he does. He's got a lot of these on his wrap. But it's so fast in the NFL. It's hard when a guy is catching a ball, turning, and the defender is coming to, you know, put a hit on him. The guy turns his head into him. Boom! It is what it is. But they gotta get better at this, and they gotta find a way. Like with the technology and cameras in super HD, and New York having the ability to override calls and send a message in that that's not a catch, they should be able to do the same and say that's not pass interference. Anywho, Jay is in Harlem on the fan. Go for it, Jay.
Hey, I'm calling back. Got to defend my man Joe one more time. I just want people to be consistent when they criticize him. Like, if you criticize him for things, you got to give him credit too. For every bust you're talking about, like, this good play, like, the O-line has been rebuilt. They ran the ball beautifully. No Jackson Dart, O-line. People love to complain about. It's good. It's like people, but oh, he drafted Jalen Hyatt. Like every guy has busts. Every good GM, Howie Roseman, has busts. Like nobody's.
But they're able to overcome them with depth, and they find a way to win. They lost, and they keep losing.
Coaching. So is that the GM? Because they're losing the game.
Yeah. When you fire the coach, and then the interim head coach still can't win the game with these players, a game that he was in. They did run the ball well. I gave him credit for Devin Singletary. He signed Devin Singletary after he lost Saquon.
All the O-line drafted, like, that's all him. Like,
David Gettleman drafted your best offensive lineman.
The other four is from Joe Shane. That's 4 out of 5 from Shane, bro. And then they're in every game, they're scoring. It's not like they're getting blown out, no point. They have just as much talent as every team they're playing against.
They still gotta execute better.
That's not the GM, bro.
The roster, the GM. I don't care if Vince Lombardi himself came to coach this team. Thanks for the call, Jay. That's enough. See, like, this is how I know you Giants fans are down tremendous. You Giants fans are down astronomical over the years, and you don't even know it. There's people protecting Joe Shane at this point. How many losses can y'all stomach? Like, what are we talking about? Finally having just a average NFL offensive line, we're giving him credit for 4 out of 5 linemen. Okay. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. They drafted him. He's been all right. Not great. Yeah. You got to go get Runyon. You got to get Van Roten. You got to get Illuminor. You got to get, you know, but like, I can't give you credit for putting together an offense. That's your job. When one of them goes down, we're relying on James Hudson. Go back to that Cowboys game. Maybe that would be a little different. Right? Andrew Thomas, great. Andrew Thomas is a great player. He didn't draft him. He just paid him. When you lose games and there are glaring guys on the field like Deontay Banks, who you traded up for, Jalen Hyatt, who you traded up for, like guys that you made moves definitively, that's my guy. Bro, listen to Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber's talking about how you got guys like, shout out to Cordell Flott. I think he's a little bit of a player, but that's what he is, a little bit of a player. He's not a big body guy. But Tiki Barber was talking about, I don't know how you draft these guys that are not physical guys. That are not physical specimens. That are not football first guys. That's part of Joe Shane's job. Let's go seek these guys out that are like, they're really men of men. It's the NFL. And when you don't have them, you get exposed. When you don't have enough of those guys and you don't have enough of those dogs, when you don't have enough of those G-men, you fold every single time. It comes down to somebody folding. Every single time. Penalties, somebody in coverage, somebody not running a route, all these little stupid things. And so as you're grading the GM the rest of the way, these are marks against them. These aren't marks for them. If you won the game, yeah, Jay in Harlem. If you won the game, you say, Devin Singletary scored twice. You know who brought him here? Joey Shane. That Joey Shane, he's not too shabby. He ain't half bad. He is. He's the opposite. He is bad. He's more than half bad. He is shabby, bro. I'm not going for it. I like I said before, people wondering where's the message. Shout out to Gridiron Media that covers the Giants. He said, within 2 days of being fired, Joe Judge issued a long statement thanking ownership, players, coaches, and the fans. Not a single word from Brian Daboll since being fired. He scapegoated go to Daniel Jones, Wink Martindale, and others. Then he got fired and pouted, classless. I replied to that, I says, in the drafts. He's had his farewell message to the New York Giants and New York fans in the drafts for 2 years. But he's holding this one. He's holding this one until they fire Joe Shane. Because I'm sure he can't go to sleep at night without being like, no way they did this to me and Joe Shane gets to keep his job. 888-808-1019. And not for nothing, the last we saw Brian Daboll, he had a Penn State hoodie on. And the rumors are circulating now. You guys keeping up with college football? Rumors are circulating now. They might be interested in bringing Brian Daboll to Happy Valley. I have to have Fleegs. Fleegs, when we come back from the break, Fleegs is going to speak up on Penn State and Brian Daboll and the Jets and Tyrod Taylor and all of this stuff because this is coming back to Fleegs. Fleegs a Penn Stater, and he's a Jet fan. And Virginia Tech is expected to hire James Franklin as their head coach. Oh, it's official? Okay, it's official. And then, Fleegs will probably know. See, I know when to call on the guy. I think there's some type of clause in Franklin's contract that once they get the numbers of the Virginia Tech deal, however much more it is, like they won't owe him as much. Like if he's getting paid $8 million. Okay. Did you say that on air or you just said that in the talk back?
Sorry, that was just in your ear. It was okay. Privately renegotiated. We found out weeks ago. It went down from $49 million to $9 million.
Copy. Okay. The legend, Michael Fleegs, on the other side of the glass. Keith McPherson here on the mic. 888-808-1019. We come back. We'll start with Fleegs, and we'll take your calls the rest of the way. I'm done in 20 minutes. Call me up. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
All right, a couple minutes here, and then Big Mac is coming up next. Shout out to everybody in the chat going strong. See, as we get closer to 100K subscribers, the chat is bigger every night, right? We had like 140 in the chat, 135 right now. When Big Mac goes on, it's going to skyrocket to like 200. I'm not even joking about that. Big Mac usually has a good little crowd at night. I'm usually in the chat, but I'm like quietly in the bed, like just listening and watching you guys in the chat. Half of you are roasting Big Mac the entire time. And I did see Big Mac jump in and egg you guys on a little bit. But I am proud of this little bit of online chat community that has been developed during WFAN overnight. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Something that we did not bring to the table. I mentioned it, but I didn't go into it. Cam Scataboo, Abdul Carter, Andrew Schultz on WWE Raw, John Cena's last appearance on Raw at the Mecca, Madison Square Garden. Yeah, the jokes write themselves. We did have a call on it, and I mentioned it earlier. I don't have a problem with it at all. Scataboo was out. Scataboo was great. I don't know why. Has Scataboo on his stream demonstrated how he dominates a taco yet? No? He should have the Taco Bell deal. Somebody should come. There's so many taco spots in New York. Somebody hasn't capitalized on turn your head and eat the taco, or do you turn the taco and keep your head straight? Like, this guy, he thinks about it all, Cam Scataboo. But yeah, I guess he's thought about and must have a good agent and manager and team around him. He was at UFC, and he was there tonight, and he actually got active. He got into it. And when I saw the video, I got my little jokes off. Abdul Carter's there with the Giants belt, and Scataboo is there, and next to him is Andrew Schultz. And shout out to Schultzy, man. I'm always able to tell a story about somebody I know. Schultzy used to work out at Blink Fitness, which was above the MLB Fan Cave in 2014. And I had a membership at that gym. And days that I wasn't hungover, I would go to the gym, work out, shower, and then go to the cave and watch baseball all day. I ran into him a couple times there, and that was just on a like, yo, what's up, man? You're Andrew Schultz. Fast forward the year later, 2015, I get a job at MTV, and Schultz is doing Guy Code. And then Schultz ends up doing, I don't know if he ever did Wildin' Out. Oh, he did Charlamagne Show. Charlamagne had a show called Uncommon Sense, and I was the social media manager at MTV2. So I end up running into Schultzy there, and I've watched his whole grind doing comedy, Real New Yorker, and he's gotten to a huge level now where he's with the Giants at WWE, Abdul Carter, Cam Scataboo, and like I said, the jokes write themselves. I wrote in the comments, I said, the Giants will do anything but win. And a lot of people ran with that too. So expect to hear about that all day on WFAN. Expect to see more of that. Cam Scataboo's out there with his full grill, icy grill. And I'm sure he had his scooter, no? He had his leg protected? Maybe. Anyway, 888-808-1019. I want to bring Fleegs in as we get the last calls up. So Franklin takes the job at Virginia Tech, and I saw the news broke at 6, and like so a little inside baseball. Once 6 o'clock comes, I pick up my son at 6 o'clock, and then it's chaos from 6 to 8. From the time I pick my son up from daycare to feeding him to watching Paw Patrol, and then once you turn Paw Patrol off, it is, I want to watch Paw Patrol. It's a whole fight, and then it's a shower. And then it's story time, bedtime, prayer, lights out by 8. So I'm like off the grid. I'm not tweeting for the most part. I'm not watching anything. So I did not see the news in real time. But okay, Penn State gets rid of this guy. He goes there. Fleegs, would you like to see Brian Daboll come from the Giants to coach in your alma mater?
No, and I'm a big Brian Daboll fan. Like, I would take him with my NFL team if I had one in a heartbeat. But I don't think his demeanor is a good fit for college.
For college kids. I mean, he was at Alabama, but that was a while ago.
And he was a coordinator, and was also under Saban. Like, his kind of thing, you know, it's more old school. That works under a guy like Nick Saban, who is old school. Those guys are getting weaned out of the game. There aren't that many of them left. And as the head guy, with just the way these kids are now, I don't know if that
works. In the NIL era, he wasn't there when it was NIL. I mean, I'm sure there were still some benefits and some things going on.
It was Alabama, so we can bet that there was something going on.
Yeah, those kids were still getting hooked
up,
I'm sure.
The SEC created NIL. Under the table, yeah.
The boosters down in Alabama, yeah, they got no professional teams down there. That is their professional team. Now with the Jets, and I know I look at you as one of the Jets fans that kind of knew this was coming. There were a lot of Jets fans that were like, yeah, Justin Fields, Aaron Glenn, former Jet. This is our time. And I feel like you were one of them that were like, whether it was Twitter or on air on Big Mac's show, like, this is not going to work. So here we are. It's official. Week 12. Justin Fields did not work. They guaranteed him all of this money. How do you feel about Tyrod Taylor starting the rest of the way? Are you trying to win games? Are you trying to lose games? You're trying to draft Fernando Mendoza? Like, where are you at this point of your 2025 Jets fan season?
I think if you're a smart fan, you have to root for the team to lose. But Justin Fields was losing for the most part. And I know he had a couple games where he was okay, but he was leading that offense in a way that was so non-competitive that it made it impossible to evaluate any of the other young players on the offense. Like, you got the Jets are a team that decided to, for some reason, come into the season with only one wide receiver. And everybody else was just an unproven nothing, and some of them are kids. Now Garrett Wilson's out, and you have to evaluate these guys. You can't do that when Justin Fields is throwing them the football. You can't
run the offense.
You can't develop Mason Taylor. Not that you really even need to evaluate him. Second-round pick, we know what he is. He's a good talent. You can't develop him if he's not getting a lot of targets because Justin Fields is throwing him the ball. Tyrod Taylor will at least try to push the ball downfield, and you can run something that is a semblance of an NFL offense.
Read the defense and get the ball to where it's supposed to be.
Sounds
against
simple,
said
right?
defense. Like
how far are we lowering the bar for these teams?
That's why I said, it's bad. One of my homies was talking to me about it because I'm not a Giant fan, I'm not a Jet fan, but I watch all the games and I follow all the stuff. And I've been on WFAN these last 4 years, and it has been miserable for both sides. And he was like, bro, you get on the radio, and I know you love football. He's like, but you got to talk about the Jets and the Giants. He's like, you're out on the Cowboys. What's it like talking about the Jets and the Giants? I know you never used to care about the Jets and Giants. I'm like, it's bad. I'm like, I guess I would like to be in L.A. and talk about the Chargers and Rams or, like, I don't know. But, like, their radio is not like our radio. I'm like, what city? I guess in Chicago, their radio is good now because the Bears are 7-3. But that's the other thing. All these other cities really have just like one team. Like in Boston, they're talking about the Patriots every day.
And
they're good.
Two that are worse than everybody else's one. Like there were times where we had at least one good team and you could focus on them when you wanted to be positive. Now we just have two teams that are the worst and in kind of different ways.
And you're just waiting for the next Adam Schefter, Diana Russini report to pop up something that this happened, this guy's traded, this guy's benched, this guy's... It's a mess. It's a mess. 888-808-1019. Last call for my calls. Chris is in Bergen County on the Fam. What's up, Coach?
What's going on, Nate? How are we doing tonight?
Bringing it home. Talking football the whole way. Did not get to Pete Alonso and Josh Naylor's contract. Did not get to Ryan Yarbrough. And if Cashman's going to try and make him the bridge starter, but, you know, we're talking football. And I know you get it as we're talking NIL, as we're talking about these college coaches. I mean, you're dealing with these kids in high school. It's damn near college now.
Yeah, we're dealing with it as sophomores. You saw it.
That's crazy.
I sent you the video.
That's crazy to me. Like, my sophomore year, I was happy that the starting quarterback went down, and I was able to finish out the last, like, six games of the season, but I didn't have any film. I have a logo. I have video editors. I wasn't, you know, wasn't thinking anything like that.
The crazy part about it is he holds like 20 plus offers at least.
Wow.
All Power 5 too.
Wow.
Legit. I got a question for you though. How do you bring in, and Fleegs, I really hate to tell you this, but the biggest Penn State booster is also the owner of the Bills.
Is that true?
Yes. So that might be a problem not getting Daboll in there. Just saying.
Okay. So you think if their past relationship in Buffalo comes up, he's going to try and put a block on that.
Ownership loved him in Buffalo. So why wouldn't they want him to, you know?
Oh, they love him. It's funny. They asked McDermott about him coming back. Like the day after he was fired, and McDermott's like, we're not exploring that.
Yeah, that was the best answer ever. But how do you bring both of them in together and not walk them out of the building together?
I don't want to say it's lazy, but I feel like part of it is, hey, we're paying him to do the work. He's here, and you know, Ian O'Connor put out the tweets about, hey, like, it's not a lock that this GM stays. I feel like they're like, hey, you know, even with Shane Bowen, and this is something that I didn't say tonight, but like everybody's like, how are they not firing Shane Bowen? He's fired. He's terminated. He's just finishing out the term. And I feel like Joe Shane, they're getting the last bit of work out of him. Put together a list, reach out to these people, do some due diligence, but it's not a guarantee that you'll be back either.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that. No doubt. It's a bad situation altogether. And if I'm a Jet fan, I'm kicking and screaming to start Fields for the rest of it. Because at least he, at
like,
least
yeah,
he
you
gives
already
me,
got this far.
At least he gives me the best chance at a
quarterback. Yes.
Pick. Yeah.
Like, and it's going to be tight.
You put Tyrod in there, he's going to win you too many games.
Because now you have some receivers for him to throw to. Mitchell and
exactly.
Mechie. Yep. And God forbid, Garrett Wilson come back at the end of the season.
Oh, forget about it. Don't even go there.
Yo, Coach, you're the man. Appreciate you, Chris. 888-808-1019. So, shout out to Anthony Rivardo. I think he's from Fireside Giants. Told y'all I'd be on. On Twitter, picking up on who is who out here. you know, with this Giants content. And he put out a tweet in quotes. It says, and this is from Jay Glazer. He says, they're not going to have a head coaching search that's going to span everywhere. They're not just going to open up to everywhere possible and have 25 guys in. That's what Jay Glazer said on the head coaching search. So that, to me, makes me think they're not trying to be like the Jets, even though they are, because the Jets just did that. The Jets just had the 33rd team bring in 25 guys, and it was like, for what? To land on Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, and that hasn't been so great. And then also Shane Bowen, the most consecutive games with 20-plus points and a loss. Since 1970, the 49ers have six. The Giants are tied with the Lions and Bengals and some of their worst teams with five. Right now, and they put the picture of Shane Bowen underneath that, right now the Giants are going for the record. They're going to tie the record. Might as well go get it, Shane Bowen. Guys are sleeping in your meetings. They don't respect you. The opposing offense doesn't respect you. Malik Willis is coming in getting busy. Like that, to me, I'm like, I thought everything was going. I'm like, they knocked Jordan Love out of the game. Jordan Love is taking an unnecessary hit on his shoulder. They knock him out of the game. They knock Josh Jacobs out of the game. I'm like, how did Giants not win this game? Like, that is the riddle every Sunday with the Giants. The Giants go up in Chicago. How did they not win this game? The Giants go up in Denver. How did they not win this game? The Giants score with 20-some seconds left in Dallas. How do they not win this game? Riddle me this. How do they find a way to screw this one up? So if they go up or they put up 20 points in another game this season, it's almost guaranteed because their offense moves the ball. That's the other thing, too. The offense does. It's not like you're watching the offense of the past with the Giants where it's like three and out. Can we get a modern-day offense? They're moving the ball, even without Malik Nabers, without Cam Scataboo, and, of course, without Jackson Dart. But Shane Bowen's defense, they're going to let you down every time. Stupid penalty, first down, a catch, and like the things for me, you knock Jordan Love out, you knock Josh Jacobs out, and Romeo Doubs couldn't catch. He dropped so many. I have him in fantasy. I actually started him this week and survived it. I'm like, this guy dropped. He had eight targets. He caught four passes. I think he dropped at least three. But this is the Giants football right now, man. This is Giants football right now. Tankathon.com. You've been on it for the last few years as Giants fans. It sucks. But here we go. What else do I have from here? Oh, Anthony Rivardo. Quarterbacks when targeting Deontay Banks in coverage this season. They're 20 of 23. That's an 87% completion rating. 270 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. 155.2 passer rating. Anthony goes on to write, he's unplayable, yet he's starting for the New York Giants. He is barbecue chicken. He is the mouse in the house. He is the mismatch. He is the offensive coordinator is up there saying, hey, number two, the guy wearing Darts jersey, go after him. Number two, you're going to block him. He gets blocked. He can't make tackles. He gets stuck in traffic. He can't cover anybody. And I knew, oh boy, Paulson Adebo can't go on warmups. And I'm like, is he making a business decision? And I don't ever want to speculate. I don't ever want to speculate that somebody is, you know, making a business decision to not go. But once he couldn't go, I'm like, this is how it starts to unravel. And the Packers were coming off of back-to-back losses where I was telling you last week, they're suspect. They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Panthers this year. You could beat them, silly rabbit. But I didn't. This was actually the week that I didn't bet on the Giants. Not one bet. All I did was load up on who was going to score against them, and I cashed like plus 3,300 Christian Watson to score two touchdowns. Threw that money on the credit card. Pay the credit card down, you know. Some light. All right, I'm out of here. C-Mac is coming up next. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Sorry I didn't get as much of you, you know, in, but we'll do this the whole rest of the week. Stay tuned. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
It's Evan and Tiki. Afternoons on The Fan 101.9 FM.
Brian Burns, who up until yesterday, because of Myles Garrett's prolific sack totals that he's going to put up this season, was leading the league in sacks. Brian Burns has been fantastic. Dex, actually, the earliest in these games, is getting pressure. Kayvon Thibodeau, when he was healthy, and Abdul Carter, they're supposed to be dominant. But it's hard to be dominant when offenses know exactly what you're going to do.
Listen to Evan and Kiki On Demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.